AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
Not mine.
That's not cool.
No problem.
No!
Maybe she has huge nipples. It takes up their time, man.
My wife!
More men. A lot of men.
You got Mr. Personality here on the phone.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
As has often been said, a ship is like a lady's watch, always out of repair.
Strong it out, Vic.
Cha!
Petros and Money, AM 570, LA Sports. We are your home of Bruin basketball, and in an hour and a half, we will step aside as they prepare to play Stanford. Tip off at 7 at Paul Lee Pavilion. Tomorrow, we get Clippers basketball back. It is 3 days in a row.
Tree!
Of basketball. Tomorrow, Magic Clippers. Tonight, Lakers Magic. And James Worthy joined us right at the start of the show. If you missed it, we'll play it again after 6. We'll say 15-ish. You'll hear that.
And a haunted house story in the very next segment for you ghost hunters out there.
You're talking my language, man.
Congratulations on becoming a grandfather, Tony Bruno.
Thank you, man.
Time for the top story of the day, man.
Top story of the day.
Top story of the day, we discussed some Laker basketball with James Worthy, and one of the things that came up was Dwight Howard and the emergence of Dwight Howard. And James said, and granted, he is the Laker analyst on the Laker flagship television station, but I don't think he's alone in saying that Dwight Howard is a not just legitimate, but very well could be the favorite for comeback player of the year. Someone who was a cast-off in many a different spot is now thriving with the Lakers. And it happened, Staples Center, Monday night. He hit a three, and the feel-good tour continues.
I saw that. Yeah, looked over at the sideline.
Everybody laughing.
I don't shoot a lot of threes. A lot of people do.
Exactly. A lot of people do. It's kind of a theme for Dwight, you know. But Dwight, facing his former team tonight, one he took to the NBA Finals, one in which he won 4 Defensive Player of the Year awards while playing for 7 All-NBA team selections.
It's a feel-good story for Orlandito tonight, Matt. I mean, just the
just
Dwight,
seeing the uniform.
Huge story in Central Florida tonight.
Certainly.
I mean, really big.
Prodigal son, should he ever return, Dwight Howard, having left on such poor circumstances, throwing poor Diet Pepsi swilling Stan Van Gundy under the bus. Unbeknownst to him, Stan confronting him indirectly in the moment, humiliated in front of a national media. 13 years removed, are we, from Dwight's first All-Star selection.
13 years?
13 years ago.
Since he put on the cape and was all smiley and doing the dunk. And he's doing the dunk contest this year. We talked about that.
Indeed, he is. 13 years removed from that first one. But once again, he's getting All-Star votes. 6th, I believe, for centers. We are hearing Laker fans, something I never anticipated happening when they had signed him to that non-guaranteed veterans minimum deal, cheer enthusiastically for the guy night in and night out.
Well, I remember. I mean, where were we? OUE Skyspace. And we had his old running mate from Orlandito on. Jameer Nelson.
Right.
Jameer Nelson came on the show. Remember that, Cates?
Was like, I got an all-star booking, and Bill Plaschke was clowning
right.
him hard for booking Jameer.
Jameer Nelson was like the John the Baptist telling of the coming of Dwight Howard and being like, he's going to come, and it's going to be great, and everybody's going to love it. And then the next hour, we had Bill Plaschke on. We were like, what do you think about Dwight Howard and the Lakers? He's like, what? And then we're like, well, Jameer Nelson said, well, Jameer Nelson, he don't know. What does he know? He doesn't know.
Kate's booked that.
What? That's stupid. But.
Kate's got upset.
And Plaschke. Yeah, who's laughing now,
Plaschke
Bill?
Plaschke was killing him.
And Plaschke was wrong. I mean, Dwight
Howard.
Dead ass
wrong.
Least it's worked. Yeah, dead ass. At least it's worked out so far, Matt. And it's one of the feel-good stories of the NBA this year.
It is probably the feel-good story of the NBA season.
Other than Caruso, our friend.
I think it's even bigger.
No, not I mean, and not bigger than Spencer Dinwiddie out of Taft.
Whatever. Remember, the idea of signing Dwight was not just met with scepticism.
Bill Plaschke scoffed at us.
Downright anger.
Called us stupid.
Laker fans got angry when they were like, eh, you know, we're kind of thinking about this Dwight thing. It was don't get Dwight. Maurice Spates, who I do not believe is in the league right now, is out there.
They floated the trial balloon. That's why we had Nelson on.
Right.
And people freaked out. They didn't like it, Matt.
Joakim Noah.
They cut off John the Baptist's head. They did.
It was ABH. Anybody but Howard. After Boogie Cousins went down with his injury. Because we've heard the stories before that Dwight was peddling. Just need another chance. Changed. You don't understand. This time is different. Nobody was buying it.
Since you've been gone, I've been in a trance. This heart needs a second chance.
The heart needs a second chance.
When love makes a sound, baby.
He had been run out of Houston. He had been run out of Atlanta.
Charlotte.
I wouldn't mind living in Atlanta someday. Ran out of Charlotte, where, by the way, he was putting up 17 and 13 a night. And nobody wanted him. Showed up in Washington, the district, for 9 games. And they were beat it, chump. And then he showed up here, hat in hand. Took a non-guaranteed veteran minimum deal with a, hey, man, let me just get in on this LeBron AD action. I'm going to live in L.A. while I'm making my $2.5 million from the Lakers. Turns out, by the way, in an era of James Harden making $40 million a year.
Taking 40 shots a night, man.
With that stupid beard. Maybe in that context, $2.5 million isn't a lot of money. But with his dead money, because remember, he came here after being bought out.
Dead ass.
By Memphis for $5.6 million. So he's not making $2.5 million. He's making $5.6 million. He got a lot to work with. He ain't starving for a single season in L.A. He can still buy that Bentley convertible that he wants to drive, the El Segundo. He can still live with toes in the sand in the South Bay or Santa Monica, or he can have a McMansion.
He's got
out
no
there
problem.
In Calabasas.
Dwight Howard is plenty rich, even though he's paid off the baby mama and some of the more gender binary people in his background. Even though he's paid off a lot of those people, there's still plenty left for Dwight Howard to do well, and he's had enough money to hire a nutritionist. As you can see, he's so much skinnier.
Extremely skinny. Don't know if he went the vegan route.
The Dave Vassay, 80-20.
A lot of vegans.
80 plant-based.
I'm not. There are a lot of them, though.
A lot of vegans out there.
I'm not one of them.
I'm not a vegan. A lot of people are.
Look at the month of January. 68% shooting. In 20 minutes a night, he is just shy of a double-double off the bench. 10 points, 9 rebounds, and he's adding 2 blocks, no less. No wonder James is like, hey, man, this is your comeback player of the year. I mean, he's probably in the conversation for 6th man of the year, no less. He is top 50 in the league in efficiency rating. And again, considering the injury to Boogie and the type of impact it was going to make, because remember, AD ain't playing no center.
Right, he didn't want to.
I got a bruised butt. Right. I'm not playing center. 1, 2, my butt's bruised. I can't be in a post with guys putting their knee on my butt bone.
Boogie Cousins
bruised.
Going down. Huge benefit.
Huge.
In a way for the Lakers.
That they ended up getting Dwight, and they got this nice little find for $2.5 million. His plus 7.8 net rating is the 5th best of his career. And again, he's been doing this since 2006.
And used to be the most dominant player on the floor when he was playing.
Yeah, conversation that he might end up going down as the most dominant athletic big man ever. And just Monday night put that early exclamation point on the season as he is, we now know, here to stay. The contract is guaranteed. And he decided to announce, hey, thanks for picking up the guarantee there. Here's a nice 21.15 rebound, 3rd made 3 of the season for everybody to enjoy. You file it under the never would have guessed it could happen headline because, well, I mean, who the hell would have ever guessed it?
Not me.
Not you, Bill.
I don't want him.
to not only just avoid making an ass of himself and make it to the... remember, we had Don McLean on when the deal was done. And we asked him, we're like, hey, what is more likely? That Dwight becomes an all-star? Because remember, in his last full season, the guy was 17-12 and there's no more centers in the league. That he's an all-star and that he does not make it to the end of that guaranteed contract. And Don answered it right. He's like, all-star? He's like, you obviously have to answer that by saying he's not going to make it to the guarantee, because everywhere he has been persona non grata. He has made an ass of himself. He's been an odd locker room presence where guys are like, dude, what is this guy's deal? He's a clown. And you've heard none of that. Instead, he's part of the gang. He's not getting froze out social media style by LeBron with the subtweets.
He's fitting in with the squad.
Fitting in. Taco Tuesday. He's showing up. He's hanging out. And one of the interesting things.
Good racial sensitivity, LeBron. Taco Tuesday. Appropriating Mexican culture. You bigot.
Exactly right, man.
What's next? A Pancho Villa beard? You racist bastard.
That seems a little harsh.
What are you going to do? Put on a...
Shake some maracas?
Get a giant Pikachu piggy bank and try to sell it to me, LeBron? Is that what you're going to do?
The one thing I will rap with. Save LeBron's cultural appropriation. Is, for whatever reason, I don't know why, but it has always been that way. See Tiger Woods and just keep go down the line. Or Alex Rodriguez. It's the number one story. There is nothing fans like more than to have a player achieve greatness.
Tear them down.
Tear them down to the ground.
To the studs.
I mean, and then be
bedrock.
Like, hey, once they make their comeback.
Come on back.
Isn't this great?
We love you.
Isn't this great?
We love you.
What a great story. Dwight Howard, what a great story. And it is the story the Lakers get to enjoy this season and will tonight. No doubt it'll be a huge feature on Spectrum LA with Geeter and James, because the Lakers are hosting the team that he helped make to the NBA Finals, only to be defeated by the Lakers and Kobe Bryant. But those 2009 Magic.
With Jameer Nelson.
With Jameer Nelson and Rashard Lewis all the way to the Finals.
Hey.
Big night for Dwight Howard tonight.
Good for him, right?
Indeed.
God bless him. That good Dwight Howard action.
Damn right.
I mean, it's great to see a redemption story. I just can't wait till Jello Ball makes an all-star game, and we'll forget all about the stealing of the sunglasses in China.
That's going to be a great one. Best one ever. Petros and Money on AM 570 LA Sports, going until 6:30 p.m. It is a basketball week for us, as we will have Clippers basketball tomorrow night after having it last night against the Cavs. Big victory for the Clips. Tonight, though, it is a UCLA and a meat portion of the sandwich. They will take on Stanford at Pauley Pavilion. Tip off at 7. That means we are out of here in just over an hour for a 6:30 p.m. pregame. If you want to talk UCLA basketball, remember to stick around after that one ends.
And maybe you could even call in and complain about the Astros. I'm sure Tim Cates would field those calls tonight.
Let's get some calls going tonight.
Can you
throw
that out there? Do you think UCLA would get mad?
Who cares? We'll do it anyway.
Yeah.
I'd say it's a big baseball school. You know, UCLA, baseball powerhouse.
Now, yeah.
So, you know, why not call Cates with some baseball conversation if you don't want to react to the Stanford-UCLA Bruins Pauley Pavilion showdown?
Right. Chase Utley was on that 2017 team. There you go. There's your connection.
Exactly right. There you go.
Dave Roberts was the manager.
Wow.
There you go.
All right. Good to go. Call and complain tonight. Turn UCLA, make UCLA talk, Dodger talk tonight.
866-987-2570.
Vasse's got Dodger talk tomorrow night, or Friday night, excuse me, all the way till Friday. Potential guests, I've already heard. Jeff Kent, maybe.
Oh, chap ass.
That's why I'm emotional.
Sean Green, maybe, about Alex Cora.
Opposite end of the spectrum, nice guy. Mm-hmm. Not Cora, a-hole, Green.
Is he going to defend him?
No.
I don't know. I don't know, Matt. I don't know.
Not after what he did to the game.
Not after what you've done.
How could you?
To Clayton's legacy!
How could you do that to your brothers? How could you do it?
Your brothers in the game.
How could you do it? You've ruined the game.
AM570LAsports.com/PMS.
After so much that this game has given you, Alex.
That's where you can stream the show. iHeartRadio app.
The game.
I like to stream on the iHeartRadio app. It sounds really good. on your smartphone.
It's a strong stream.
Very strong. Very
strong.
Like when you're young and you have to pee really bad, that's the kind of stream it is.
Splashing out the toilet.
Yeah.
So strong.
And then, of course, all the other platforms, the podcast is there for you. If there's problems, report it to Cates in the union. And Matt, and you go back up on the hill news, speaking of our retirement.
You go back up on the hill.
I have big news. In week first,
for shame,
the small amount of business. Christmas lights are still up.
Oh, God.
Oh, come on. It's still January. That's... Somebody told me Happy New Year today. Come on. We're good.
Come on. Just take them down.
I don't
know.
This
way, how many people in your neighborhood still have their Christmas lights up?
I don't judge like you.
I'm asking how many people in your neighborhood still have their Christmas lights up.
I don't look at people.
How many houses?
I'll look tonight and tell you tomorrow.
I'm going to guess.
This might have come
down. I'm going to set the over-under at one.
Oh,
yours.
No, come on. There's got to be. I'll look.
Okay, 1.5. I'll set it at 1.5.
Keep my eyes peeled. It's not like I have them on.
Are they the large bulbs?
No. Small ones.
How easy is it for you to tell that they are on your house? Like, is your house white and the strings are green?
It's very small amount of my house is visible from the street. And
that's right. It's behind the gates.
No. It's a hedge.
It's a hedge with armed guards hidden inside of it.
Yeah, people are like, well, if you live behind the gates, you can't. It's like, dude, I don't live behind the gates. It's a totally different
behind
city
the gates
from where I live. Well, anyway, not behind the gates also, Matt. The Vanderlip House. The Vanderlips are the people that used to own the entire South Bay, well, the whole hill.
You go back up on the hill.
Now for sale. 7,000 square foot mansion, 10 guest houses, and lots of land behind the Terranea, below, behind the gates, in Rancho Palos Verdes. The mansion has been elect. Do you have any haunted house sound? The mansion. My whole childhood, before Wikipedia could discredit things and the internet, the Vanderlip House, Matt, had been a legend in the area I grew up in for over a half century. Tales of the Vanderlips having a murderous past were told. People say the Vanderlips dogs attack Dobermans, the mean dog of the 80s.
Sure.
The mean dog of the 90s, the pit bull. The mean dog of the 80s,
Doberman.
The Doberman.
Snoop tried to bring it back.
Attack Dobermans, no voice boxes, creep up and eat teenage couples mid-coitus. These okay. are the things.
I think that's viable.
That people told us. That's people said that one of the Vanderlip women killed all her kids and put them in the bath, which was totally erroneous.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Joining us right now, man, Kristen Lumen from Ghost Hunters.
Double Ghost Hunters.
Her name was Amy, by the way. Ghost Hunters, okay?
Now, don't get me wrong. The Vanderlips were odd, okay? They had 10 guest houses for artists and eccentrics like Cato Kaelin types just living up there who had to be uprooted Berkeley trees style so they could build the stadium.
All squatters.
Yeah, weirdos and freaks and painters and poets. People crapping out there in the woods. But there is no history of murder.
Are you sure?
Or silent killing human eating dogs. And for a listed price.
What are we looking at?
Well, it's in great disrepair.
Okay. I'm just thinking about the land and what we can do on the land.
It's an unbelievable property.
If it's like a feeling bruise.
You can't even see it. No, it's a PMS Studio West.
Okay.
For the listed price of $12.5 million, and you heard the president, the economy's doing great.
Look at the market.
We can have it all. We can have the Vanderlip Empire of Dirt. Could be ours.
Our Empire of Dirt?
It's all that's left of the wealthy family's legacy that owned most of Colin Cowherd's South Bay at one time.
Mm-hmm.
The Vanderlips, who brought the peacocks to the hill through Lucky Baldwin. Frank Vanderlip from Chicago, went to the University of Chicago. Well, not from Chicago, but rural Illinois, University of Chicago.
Okay, that works.
Became a famous journalist in New York who climbed to the president of the Bank of New York and bought the hill and bought half,
you go back up on the hill.
Half of Texas. And his family is still there.
Sounds like a great place for a sanitarium. We can follow in Kellogg's footsteps. Petros and Money Show Sanitarium.
And punish children for masturbating?
No, just feed them bran flakes. Oh. It's a great way to calm their stomachs.
What do you guys do here? Well, we look at the view, the ocean here, and we...
Very serene.
Now, Matt...
Clear your mind. Try these bran flakes.
Self-report. Back in the 90s...
You broke in and peed on the side of the house.
Worse than that.
Pooped on the side of the house.
I didn't defecate in any way.
Threw a brick through the window.
Pee? No. But me, my brother, and... former pro football player John Wellborn, with a video camera the size of an igloo cooler, went up there in our convertible at like 2 in the morning, and we had the code, because that one is behind a gated community. And then they have a gate.
You go back up on the hill.
And then there's like a mile-long road driveway with like bare trees that are perfectly spaced
so
all the
you,
way.
What, it's lights creepy. Out, or are you guys walking up?
Did lights out.
It? Lights out.
And like somebody like revved their engine and was like, and we were like, ah, oh! And drove all fast out of there. And also, when at my dad's restaurant,
it wasn't for you meddling kids.
They took the mask off, yeah. And it was Jim Thorpe. Also, when I was a young man at my dad's restaurant, and you know, these stories proliferated for years until sure. Like a couple newspaper articles came out. It was like, nobody ever killed anybody. They were just into art. But
they were weirdos.
Oh, I was waiting tables at my dad's restaurant.
And he came in.
She, Narcissa Vanderlip. Full lace dress.
How old?
Long gray hair. Handsome woman, but old. Weird Yoko Ono sunglasses.
Okay.
Opening right at 5 o'clock. No one else in the restaurant. Floats in, alone, sits down. Bottle of Zinfandel.
And?
Bloody rare rack of lamb.
Come on.
Swallows it like Chuck Mangino. Mark Mangino.
Mark Mangino.
And I was like, wow, this lady's pretty weird. And my dad goes, I'd like to introduce you to somebody. And I was shaking her hand. He goes, this is Narcissa Vanderlip. And I was like, ah!
Did your dad know her?
Yeah. He said he used to swim in her pool for her naked. Swim naked, John. Yes. And she probably painted a picture of it. It's for sale, Matt. We can have it. $12 million. I've never even seen
them. We will let you down.
I haven't seen the property from the 90s. You know, I'm glad you asked me.
You go back up on the hill.
I would have told that story if you hadn't asked me. But yes, I used to swim naked. Ask him.
Did you get paid for that?
Ask him. He's a young restaurateur, young and virile.
A little upset him.
Well, the Vanderlip house is for sale. You should
that.
Say, let's all go in for it. You could build a studio and sing there, John, in one of the guest houses.
Not a bad idea.
Build a state-of-the-art studio.
To hell with these home studios. What the world needs is a new studio to go to, place to stay, unplug, find your motivation. What's your muse? You got a record to make.
Muse cage.
Now we're talking.
It is an unbelievable historic California property. And $12 million is a steal.
It's a pittance.
It really is a bag of shells, Matt. And with Tim Cates.
Tim Cates, coming back on, in the studio, will check me on that.
I think we could all buy it and have a compound kibbutz type of a great sports talk situation.
Blow this joint.
Move in the prize hooker, Gonzo, and everybody going.
Oh, yeah. That's talk about a neighborhood you want to live in.
It's not a neighborhood, Matt. It's a giant estate.
Ours.
It's all ours. We get horses and ride up.
Peacocks.
Quiet over there on the prairie. We can pass the Cates house.
Cates doesn't have to go to Arizona to shoot his guns anymore.
We can grow
just
weed.
Just come right on our property.
Oh, big weed.
Ton of weed.
Big weed stash. Pocket full of cash. Just seen a big old ass. It's the Vanderlips.
Coming up next, your dad and a live guy birthday of the day as we are out of here at 6:30 p.m. for UCLA basketball.
Everybody, and welcome back. The Petros and Money Show is on the air. It is a We Just Won't Be Defeated Wednesday. A little PMS history. Matt and I. And what am I going to do with this guy? That's from our dear friend Joey Zaza. And
B-list.
What I like to call an A-list actor.
B-list.
Well, I said what I like to call him. Yeah. I mean, it's he's clearly an A-list actor.
But you don't have to say what I like to call. If you just say A-list actor, people know that's what you call him. When I say B-list, they know I say B-list.
No, I'm just trying to say something, and you're like...
Is that true?
Yeah.
That's what you hear in your mind.
You hate Andy Garcia.
I don't hate him.
And Tim Conway Jr., whose father is a famous man, and he's a famous man, says A-list. And that last I heard, you're no Lionel Barrymore's grandson. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not.
He's an A-lister.
B-list.
Well, I'm not going to tell the story about We Just Won't Be Defeated Wednesday then. But I'm going to tell you about this, Matt. The Innings Festival, returning to Tempe, Arizona, February 29th through March 1st. We love Tempe. Visit InningsFestival.com. Grab your tickets to see the Dave Matthews Band, Weezer, Portugal the Man, Death Cab for Cutie, and many more. Listen this Monday for your chance to win two VIP tickets and a $200 gas card and three nights hotel accommodations. Details at am570lasports.com. Matt's got the dead guy birthday of the day.
Dead guy, A-list, Ronnie Van Zant. Southern man don't need him around anyhow. Would have been 72 today, but as many well know, died in a plane crash in 1977 at 29. Cates, let's go with one of the great. If you want to see what life was like at a concert... in 1976, 73 through 76. Let's go with a little Gimme Three Steps by Lynyrd Skynyrd there. See what that crowd looks like. Those chicks on the shoulders and boobies bouncing around. Nice little up-tempo from Skynyrd. Grew up idolizing Muhammad Ali in Jacksonville. Wanted to be a boxer. That wasn't working, so wanted to be a baseball player. He was pretty damn good. Thought he might have the chops to make it to the minors, but, well, it turned out he had that voice. And it was baseball that brought Lynyrd Skynyrd together. He was on an American Legion All-Star travel team.
I was going to say, like, softball with a keg behind second base. But, you know, hey, whatever.
Whatever.
I mean, travel ball, softball, beer league, same thing.
Ronnie was a pitcher.
By the way, speaking of softball, remember our friend Michael Lev?
Yeah, Arizona now.
When I did the Arizona game this year, I forgot to tell you. Took a freaking line drive off the knee when he was pitching. Cracked the kneecap. He was in a full brace, just limping around.
How about stop?
That's what I gotta say.
How about play, like you said it, play the mush ball, the 16-inch beer league where no one's got gloves, there's a keg on second base, and have a good time. What the hell does it matter if you win your stupid softball league anyway? Congratulations. Way to win the championship.
Skynyrd loves baseball like the Kings of Leon after them.
So Skynyrd, freaking beans... Bob Burns, who's on a rival travel team, and they start jawing at one another, and they decide to have a few words after. Come to find out, well, Burns, he plays the drums, Skynyrd playing guitar and sings a little bit, and they get a bunch of friends together, schoolmates, and they form a band called My Backyard. It was Alan Collins, Rossington, Junstrom on bass, and Bob Burns on drums, and they kicked around a bunch of names, the Noble Five, the 1%, before settling on Lynyrd Skynyrd. Mock tribute to their gym teacher, Lynyrd Skynyrd, at Robert E. Lee High School.
Kick me in the jimmy. Do you think it's still Robert E. Lee High?
I think so. It's Florida. Jacksonville. I would guess it is, right?
I don't know.
That's
what, I don't know.
Skynyrd did not like them long-haired hippies. No. Used to give the boys a bad time, so it was a mock tribute. They opened for some national acts. They got a name for themselves around Jacksonville. Landed, actually recorded at Muscle Shoals. Junstrom out. Billy Powell hopped in. Keys and Wilkinson on bass. Al Cooper of Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Heard him in Atlanta. Signed him to MCA. Debut album, pronounced Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah, still are.
Monster.
Still are the Robert E. Lee High School
there
in Jacksonville.
Hey, it's Florida, man.
Home of the Generals.
Okay.
And they got Robert E. Lee on a horse pointing a sword as their mascot there.
Oh, they're not backing off. First record, debut. Tuesday's Gone, this, Gimme Three Steps, Simple Man, and of course, Freebird. Landed the opening slot for the Who's Quadrophenia Tour, and, well, that blew them wide open. Door's not closing now. Second helping had Sweet Home Alabama, their biggest song, and turns out they and Neil Young, friends.
What happened?
Not adversaries. Neil Young wrote the song Powderfinger for him, as a matter of fact. So, I don't know, maybe just a little diss track back and forth.
I hope Neil Young can remember. Because, you know, there's levels of hippies, and maybe Lynyrd Skynyrd thought these guys were hippies, but Lynyrd Skynyrd Thought there was a lot of dirty hippies below there.
Done right.
You know, because they were Southern men.
Exactly right. Don't need them around anyhow. Oh. Stay up in Canada, you freak. Yeah, it turns out they were friends. Multi-platinum there. Started falling apart, though. Burns had a mental breakdown. King left after he and Ronnie had a straight-up fist fight. Fourth release, Give Me Back My Bullets. What a great name for an album. Didn't do much. But they still kicked ass on tour. They added a couple new players, including Steve Gaines on guitar, and 1977 Street Survivors put them back on top. What's Your Name, That Smell, both huge hits, and they were on tour to support that new release. Sadly, October 20th, 1977, Greenville, South Carolina. Very next night, they were scheduled to appear on campus at LSU, and their plane went down in a forest in Mississippi. Ronnie, Steve Gaines, his sister Cassie, who was a backup singer, and their road manager, Dean Kilpatrick, all killed instantly with the two pilots. But a bunch of folks were on that plane. Their tour manager, six other band members survived. It happened just 3 days after that record was released. And according to just about everybody, Ronnie used to always say, would never see 30. Just something inside him told him he wouldn't. And he died 2.5 months.
Well, that rock and roll life, Matt, you know. And yeah. You see, you know, Morrison and Jan Joplin and all these people going down.
Just kind of following in their footsteps. Oddly, too.
On a plane.
He started calling himself the Mississippi Kid about 6 months before he died. And he had absolutely nothing in Mississippi. No connection to the state whatsoever. Save the place where he was killed.
I've never hopped on a train, but I'd like to call myself Boxcar Willie. So
well, maybe don't. Don't fly over Mississippi, Van Zandt.
I'll tell you, Andy Garcia was the voice of Don Quixote in the Dora the Explorer movie.
I've already moved on.
So if that, I will never move on.
I've already moved on. Ronnie Van Zandt, Skinner, Robert E. Lee High School.
I'm not going to have him treated that way. And I don't even, steps. You know, it's the same as your...
What's your name?
It's the same as your anger toward Cole Hamels. You hated him at the Laker games, and now you can't honor his art.
You're right.
You hated him at the games. Right. You didn't like that he wore
stupid beret.
Gloves indoors.
Stupid
and
beret.
And the little glasses.
And it's like, hey, idiot, you're at a Laker game. Take off your stupid beret and your dumbass leather gloves.
I have you know that Andy Garcia has been nominated for 2 major awards.
Did he win them?
Nominated,
Did
I said,
him?
For 2 major awards.
That's why he's a B-list.
10 years apart.
That's why he's a B-list.
No, Matt. He didn't afford the tickets down on the floor, and he dressed like he should be on the floor.
Stop it, Garcia. And he always showed up late. He always showed up mid-third, first quarter, so people could see him come in. It's like, hey, dude, you're B-list. Show up during shoot-around.
You know, we honor artists on this show, even if they were bad guys.
Ronnie Van Zandt.
We don't know if he was a bad
guy. Don't know if he was a bad guy.
This guy seems like a good guy. He's a luchador, and we are your luchador.
No question.
Name unknown, a.k.a. Estrella Blanca, the White Star.
The White Star?
82 years old today.
Okay.
Mexican guy.
What?
The great Mexican luchador.
That's crazy talk.
Enmascadero. That means Mexican pro wrestling. Real name, not revealed. His face.
Never revealed?
Ever.
Ooh, I like that.
His legs are number one. His chest is number one. Actually, he's 5'4", 143 pounds. About the size you were when you were wrestling in junior high.
I was in the under 70 pound weight class.
He started wrestling in 1954, a little bit before you. Not long. And
not
it
long.
Is said... that he is the winner of the most luchas de apuestas, bet matches,
okay,
of all time.
So when money's on the line?
He comes through. He wears a blue mask, a mask of azul, with the trim de blanca, the white trim around the eyes, the mouth, the bottom.
I can visualize that.
All the time. He's married to the daughter of his trainer, and he promised her that he would never be unmasked. No amount of dinero will ever let you see the face of Estrella Blanca so he can move around freely with his wife in public. He has said that he will be buried in his mask. His most memorable match, 1977. Estrella Blanca.
Good year.
With Ultraman versus Zeus and Pantera Azul, the Blue Panther.
I'll look that up on YouTube.
You know, somebody... The reason I picked this is because somebody brought a very disturbing story to my attention.
Is that right?
You remember Ramses?
Oh, yeah.
From Nacho Libre.
Former Wednesday Night Film Fight combatant.
His chest is number one. Ramses, you are the best! Well, I guess Ramses, the real wrestler, because that was a real luchador guy, obviously. He's the Silver King, was his name. And 2 years ago, they were doing like a Mexican wrestling showcase in London. And he had like a heart attack.
Oh, no.
And died.
That was it.
But the guy pinned him and like was like
he was
kicking
dead
him,
in the ring.
And he was dead and nobody knew.
He was kicking his corpse?
Yeah.
That's hard.
And he pinned his corpse. Oh. And the medical person was like, I don't see why you couldn't want it. There's no one on hand to help. But that's what happened. So.
He's supposed to push me off. That's what the script says. But he ain't moving a muscle. I mean, he is as limp as a possum.
I celebrate it. We'll be back with your quick hits. And we're going to replay James Worthy. You know, it's our motto. Lakers, UCLA basketball.